It is 6 years that Alton Meyer will never get back, the six he spent as a Vietnam POW. Now retired in rural Brazos County, Al Meyer has many memories and artifacts of being held captive in Hanoi at what they call the Hanoi Hilton. He spent his first several months on his back with his broken leg healing. Hi, I'm Tom Turbeville. This is Bravo Brazos Valley, brought to you by Meesen Associates. We'll start Al Meyer's story today, and it does start with why he entered the Air Force to start with. On advice of a friend.
He said he was out in the middle of a battle every day, but he had a nice, clean, warm bed to sleep in at night. So I figured the Air Force was for me.
Yeah, his job was to fly backseat as an electronics warfare officer.
Well, an electronic warfare officer, most of us went to B-52s and sat in the back of the B-52 and operated the electronic defenses for the B-52, the jammers and things like that to jam the enemy radar. And that's what most of our class went to. I went to Air Defense Command and flew in B-57s, which was a light bomber. And our job was to fly targets for the Nike air defense missile training, and then also for fighter interceptor pilot training. We would jam their radars while they tried to intercept us and simulate shooting us down.
Stationed in Thailand, his very first flight actually came before he was properly checked into his post.
I arrived late one afternoon and went to personnel, and they told me that to come back the next morning at 9 o'clock. I went back down to the squadron, and they had us on a flying schedule, and we went flying. We got up at 2 o'clock that morning, and we had a 4 o'clock in the morning takeoff, and it was pitch black. We took off, and the air conditioning system on the F-105 doesn't come on until the gears retracted. And when we got off the runway and retracted the gear, there was a large rice bug came out of the air conditioning in the front cockpit. The pilot says, "You got it," and so I had to stick and. You know, it was pitch black out there. There were no visual references, and they had taken most of our flight instruments out of the back seat. And so I was trying to maintain wings level and positive rate of climb and not stall the airplane until he got through with the rice bug. And every once in a while, he'd swat the stick, and the airplane would wobble a little bit. And
yeah.
He finally killed the rice bug, and so we went on with the mission.
Al Meyer flew several missions over North Vietnam. He can't remember them all, but he certainly remembers his last one. It was mission number 35.
The target that day was an electrical switching station, which was in a building inside a dirt revetment, which we had tried to bomb two or three times before, never had been able to hit that building. And so we got to the beginning of what we call Thud Ridge, which was a ridge which sort of pointed toward Hanoi like a finger, and you could fly down that ridge. And if they fired a missile at you from one side, then you could dodge to the other side to get away from the missile. But when we got there, it was very cloudy, and we called back to we were 4 minutes ahead of the mission lead and the mission commander, and we called back to him and told him that it was all cloudy, and he says, "Well, go take a look. There may be a hole over Hanoi." So I remember that, and I remember we were above the clouds, and the missile popped out of the cloud and exploded right above the airplane.
And that's the last thing he recalls, other than the torture, the camaraderie, the perseverance, and the family back home. They're all part of this amazing story of Al Meyer. It will continue tomorrow.
Yesterday,
we introduced
Turbeville.
You to
this
Alton Meyer of the Brazos Valley. He counts himself lucky to live here, lucky to live at all. Shot down, spent 6 years as a POW in Vietnam. After the explosion in the air, does not remember ejecting or floating to Earth. The next thing he remembered was waking up, his leg fractured, on his back in a bamboo hut, the faces of the enemy looking back down at him.
I saw a whole bunch of very vicious Vietnamese, and they were asking me if I was Russian. And, of course, I told them I was American. I probably should have told them I was Russian. But anyway, they became very vicious. They spit on me. They twisted my broken leg. I had a broken leg. I had cuts and burns and bruises all over my body. And they had stripped all my clothes off, which that was probably a good thing that I was unconscious when they did that, because some of the guys that were conscious when they took their clothes off, you know, the snaps and buckles and zippers and so on really baffled them, so they just took the clothes off with a machete. So they say it was quite a scary experience.
His captors took him to Hanoi, but the trip there was one he'll never forget. It was just the start of his hell on earth.
Every time we went through a village, they would stop in the village and they would roll up the side curtains on the truck and let the villagers come look at me, and they would hit me with their hands and fists and twist my broken leg and things like that. And probably the most vicious of these people were the ones that had the red lips and teeth from chewing betel nuts. Those women were very vicious people, and they were really mean, as far as hitting and spitting and twisting my broken leg and so on.
Along the way, he was interrogated by a Swedish doctor. He won't forget that.
And he told me that he had connections to the International Red Cross. He could get a letter out for me. And, of course, at that time, I didn't think I was going to live anyway. So I really wasn't that interested in getting a letter out. And then he wanted to talk about things like what kind of an airplane did I fly. And I wouldn't tell him. And he got mad at me. And I don't know, I guess he was the one that supervised putting a cast on my leg, but they put a cast on my leg.
Yeah.
And then when I came to again, they put me on that truck again, and we started back toward Hanoi, and we stopped at all the villages, same routine as the day before.
I'm Tom Turbeville. This is Bravo Brazos Valley, brought to you by Meesen Associates. More with Al Meyer, POW of Vietnam, right after this.
If you are in need of legal services, please consider calling Meese & Associates Attorneys at Law. Meese & Associates, an involved community partner. Meese & Associates, attorneys who care about helping you and helping our community. Call us at 846-9608. Licensed by the State Bar of Texas, not certified by the Texas Board of Legal Specialization. Meese & Associates, Attorneys at Law. 846-9608.
Alton Meyer of the Brazos Valley, 6 years a POW in Vietnam. Interesting note here, at the Hanoi Hilton, the ranking American POW officer was Admiral James Stockdale. Yeah, the former running mate of Ross Perot, who just passed away this past summer.
Well, I just remember the policies that he had sent out. Don't give them anything without torture, and no escaping unless you have outside help. And his wife was the one that organized all the wives, which they had the League of Families. And they were the ones that sold the POW bracelets to raise money for the campaign and so on. And that probably helped a whole lot with our treatment getting better in 1969.
Tomorrow we'll finish the amazing story of bravery of Alton Meyer, Vietnam POW. Alton Meyer lives with his wife Bobby in rural Brazos County. He's thankful every day that he was able to grow old with his family, his children, his grandchildren. It may well have not turned out that way. Lieutenant Colonel Al Meyer was an electronics warfare officer. When his plane was shot down, he was captured. He spent the next 6 years as a Vietnam POW. Hi, I'm Tom Turbeville. This is Bravo Brazos Valley, brought to you by Meesen Associates, and today we conclude the story of POW Al Meyer. There's so much to recall about his years in captivity. 2 years, his status was missing in action, as far as his family knew. He remembers the interrogation in Vietnam.
When I got there, they tried to do things to me, and I'd pass out. And, you can't torture someone that's unconscious. And so they kept telling me that if I didn't talk to them, I wouldn't get any medical care, and then I was going to die. So I held out for a while, and then I figured, well, I don't have anything to lose but my life. And so I'll talk to them, and I started to tell them that I'm... That first question was what kind of an airplane was in. I told him 105, and then the next question was D model or F model, the D model being the single seat and the F model being the two seat. And I told him a D model because I had decided I was going to tell him I was an F-105 pilot rather than an EWO, because I figured they'd have fewer questions for a pilot than they would an EWO. And so he immediately told me that I was lying to him, because he knew that I was from an F-105F and that I was an EWO, and he had just talked to my pilot, Major Dudash.
The Hanoi Hilton was his home for a while. That's where the interrogation got more intense.
You would go to the interrogation room. You stayed there until they finished interrogating you. And then they would take you to what they called Heartbreak Hotel. And it was a real heartbreaker, because here you finally came to the realization of what had happened to you and so on. And I stayed there, I don't remember how long, 3 or 4 days. And I was lying on the floor, since I was in a body cast from my chest all the way down to the bottom of my foot.
Finally, after 6 years, Al Meyer was released. But even that was no smooth operation.
We were in a camp up on the Chinese border, and they took us to Hanoi. Mm-hmm. And we were in Hanoi, and they read the agreements to us that they had made in Paris about releasing POWs. And each of us was given a copy of these agreements. And so we knew when we were going to come home, pretty much. I was very solidly in the second group. They was going to be sick and wounded first, and then it was going to be by date of capture. Mm-hmm. And so I was pretty solidly in the middle of the second group, depending on how many sick and wounded there were going to be. And I think there were 30-some sick and wounded. And then on February the 12th, the first group went home.
But for the second group, Al Myers group, well, there was a delay.
They lined us up in the courtyard one night, and the camp commander told us that, today was the day for you to go home, but the United States is not living up to the agreement, so you're not going to get to go home. And so morale dropped, and then about a week later, things start getting a little better. And on the Sunday, March the 4th, the 141 showed up, and they took us to the airport, and we got on the 141s and flew from Hanoi to Clark Air Base in the Philippines.
We thank Al Meyer. We salute him for his service. We regret the 6 years lost. Please thank a veteran today. I'm Tom Turbeville. This is Bravo Brazos Valley.
If you are in need of legal services, please consider calling Meese & Associates Attorneys at Law. Meese & Associates, an involved community partner. Meese & Associates, attorneys who care about helping you and helping our community. Call us at 846-9608. Licensed by the State Bar of Texas, not certified by the Texas Board of Legal Specialization. Meese & Associates, Attorneys at Law, 846-9608.